In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We have been reading about and listening to excerpts of the life of Jacob. He deceived his father and his brother, and it took many years of hard work for him to recover, only to be deceived by Laban, his uncle. It took more years of hard work for him to get his desire to marry Rachel. This family was likely the first one to be accurately called dysfunctional. Unfortunately, Jacob's blunders continued as he showed favoritism to one of his 12 sons. Joseph was the preferred child, and he did not hesitate to flaunt it. This made his older brothers envious and angry, angry enough to plan to kill him. As providence would have it, one of his brothers convinced the others not to kill Joseph, but to enslave him. They pulled him out of the pit, sold him to traders, and off he went to Egypt to be forgotten, and his father Jacob was left at home mourning the loss of his favorite child. But God did not forget Joseph. Down the road, he became the lifeline for the survivor of his dysfunctional family and many other families. In spite of all the negatives about Jacob, he has not been forgotten. He is named with the three other founding patriarchs of the Old Testament. Many times we read about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Maybe within your family, there's friction between its members. I know that exists in my family. The friction can be caused by sheer nonsense that ballooned into strong resentment. Sometimes a bad feeling is caused by some perceived behavior or conversation. Take heart. God is not done with you or your family. Joseph, with his beautiful coat of many colors and his dreams of superiority over his parents and brothers, became the chief, or we could call him the prime minister of Egypt. Even in prison, falsely imprisoned, God did not leave him alone. He was always with him and blessed him to succeed. Do not doubt the situation you may be in. Trust God and he will change your circumstances. Just as Jacob the deceiver showed trust in God to be named with the patriarchs of biblical history, we too, if we are guilty of hurting others, when we turn to God, he forgives and forgets our sins. Your brother or your sister may have cheated you on your parents' inheritance, spread lies about you, forged your name on a document. Forgive him or her. God will provide all your needs, and you will be at peace. In today's gospel, we realize that the disciples believed in ghosts. Now, I don't know what your thoughts are concerning ghosts, or apparitions, as some call it, and in Jamaica would call them duppy. That's another conversation altogether. In my early years, I believed in ghosts. My father was a small farmer, and along with other small farmers, he provided milk to a depot. This milk supplied the boarding school in the area. My younger brother and I had to be up early to deliver the milk by 6:30 a.m. We had to walk by two huge stone pillars at a gateway. There appeared to be something growing on top of the gates. Maybe moss or small plants, but we thought they were ghosts. What do ghosts look like? We had no idea, having no knowledge of even Halloween costumes. Anyway, our hearts were pounding in our chests as we ran past those pillars with the milk juggling, sloshing around in the cans in our hands. Of course, on our way back, there was nothing to see, since it was broad daylight and the sun was up. A few years later, for a few months, I would walk that same road at dusk, coming home from high school. By then, most of my fears were gone. Those gate pillars I can laugh at now when I pass them by and realize how senseless our fears were. Do you have ghosts you can laugh at now? Some ghosts, and when I say ghost, I can replace that word with fear. Some ghosts can haunt us mentally for many years. Things done and left undone. Guilt, disappointments, regrets. The ghosts of self-criticism and second-guessing often visit us in the night, saying, "You could have," or "You should have." The ghosts of worry and anxiety keep us awake, imagining the worst and wondering, "What if?" Then there's the ghost of grief and sorrow. And many die in their spirits because they are still in that land of ghosts. The pandemic heightened this fear, wondering if you will be infected and if you will be the next casualty, part of the count. I am sometimes, if only momentarily, haunted by some of these ghosts. Maybe you recognize some of those in your own lives. Some doors in our life we keep closed rather than face the ghosts or the fears, or we are unwilling to accept them. Yes, we have fears about health, about our finances with the ever-increasing cost of living, global warming, politics, our future, our children, and the list goes on. Each fear is an aspect of our life. They are wounded, broken, and impoverished parts of ourselves. They are the parts of ourselves we don't like, parts we have deemed unacceptable or unworthy. And yet every ghost, every fear, offers the possibility of healing, wholeness, and new life. Our fears keep us from looking to Jesus. Instead, we look to Jesus to be the ghostbuster, rather than seeing him as the divine presence revealed in our fears. Every ghost, every fear, holds before us the possibility of faith and the possibility of doubt. It is never just one or the other. Every fear we deal with lets us step out in faith, and every fear that we refuse sinks us deeper into doubt. We know what was happening to the disciples in the boat. The boat was being battered by the strong wind, and they were far from land. Seems this went on for a long time, because when the disciples saw the ghost, who was really Jesus, it was early morning. So look at these disciples, weary from the onslaught of wind and waves. Fears have crept in. They were terrified. They cried out in fear, "It is a ghost." Not a word of prayer. "No, Lord, have mercy." Sheer terror. Peter's doubt was expressed in, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." Impulsive Peter is the first disciple who's coming to his senses. Yet there is an if. There is doubt in Peter's mind. This is precisely where he is with that if. Jesus says to Peter, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" Do you think Jesus is criticizing Peter for not having more faith, better faith, stronger faith, or a walking on water faith? Think about that. The miracle, the good news, the hope of every one of us is that sometimes Jesus comes to us disguised as a ghost. The ghost disciples see and the ghosts they can't see are two sides of the same thing, a holy ghost. There's always more to the ghosts of our life than we can see or believe. Jesus' question to Peter isn't a criticism. It is not an accusation, and it is not a judgment. We cannot manufacture for ourselves more faith within ourselves or gain it by demanding that Jesus prove himself. What we can do is face our fears, face our ghosts. We may well be in great danger or trouble, filled with sadness and apprehension. But Jesus comes to us in the middle of all that torment and calms our fears. "Take courage. It is I. Do not be afraid." Jesus stepped into the boat, and the wind and the waves became calm. No matter what disaster may come our way, Jesus reassures us that we need not fear, we need not doubt, because he is with us, with his power through his word and his powerful reminders of his love and forgiveness that are ours. Jesus did not let Peter drown or let him suffer for a little while. He immediately reached out his hand and caught him. Is there something that is causing you to feel like you're drowning? What are the waves that are bashing against the situations in your life? Jesus can reach out and pull you out. He is saying to all of us, do not be afraid. Do not keep focusing on the wind and the waves. Look to me. Jesus is faithful in his love as a covenant-keeping God. Jesus is faithful in his ability to protect us. He's the one who has all the power to protect us and the power to work all things out for our good. Jesus is faithful in his forgiveness because he has paid for our sins, even our doubts, our fears, and our distractions, so that they are no more than a distant memory. As a child, I learned this little chorus. Part of it says, "With Christ in the vessel, we can smile at the storm." I pray smiles for all of us today. With Christ in our vessel, and we invite him to be in our vessel, to fill us with an awareness of his presence that brings calm to our storms, to relieve our fears today, tomorrow, and forever. Amen.